Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're talking about dreams, hypnosis. We're talking about special revelation and the interpretation of dreams, visions, hypnosis, and visitations in the Bible. I'm going to try to go through the Bible and cover many of these, from all the way from Genesis through Revelation. And we're going to start out in the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis, but just hold your place now, because we're going to go to the New Testament in Romans the 8th chapter, because this Romans the 8th chapter has so much to do with what we're going to preach tonight. Romans 8 and verse 26, "And in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." I don't know about you, but I have prayed some prayers like this where all I did was groan and cry. "And He who searches the hearts and knows the minds and of the Spirit, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes or is able to cause all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called or the elect according to His eternal purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestined, He also called. Whom He elected, He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, those He also glorified. What then shall we say in these things? If God is for us, who is able to be against us?" If God is for us, who is able to be against us? Now, I've also experienced that. Now, in the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis, Joseph has been castigating his brothers, his father's sons, because they had sold him into Egypt. They wanted to kill him. And now they're coming to him to buy grain. In the 45th chapter, verse 1, "Then Joseph could not control himself before all of those who stood by him. And he cried, and he kept on crying. And everyone, go out from me, he said. So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers." Now they were scared out of their wits with this man that acted like he hated them, but he did not trust them at all. And they kept on saying that God is going to kill us, He's going to destroy us because of what we did to our brother and to our father. "And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household, and Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were so dismayed at his presence." They were struck out of their senses. They were astounded. "Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." Romans 8 and 28 again. "For God is able to cause all things for the good of those that are the called that love Him." He said, "Joseph said, you sold me into Egypt, and I bet you these guys melted into the floor. And now do not grieve or be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me here before you to preserve life." Remember what Joseph's name was? Hosoter Kazmu, the Savior of the world. Because he saved that whole world there that he lived among. The whole area around Egypt. He saved every one of them because he prepared for the famine. For the famine had been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great deliverance, by a great rescue. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he made me be father to Pharaoh and Lord of all of his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up now to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. And you shall live in the land of Goshen. And you shall be near me, and you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. Now the land of Goshen was a land flowing with milk and honey in Egypt, by the way. And there I will provide for you, for there are still 5 years of famine to come, lest you and your households and all that you have be impoverished. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth which is speaking to you. Now you must tell my father of all of my splendor in all of Mitzrayim, or Egypt, the land of red mud and canal banks, and all that you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck, and he wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. And he kissed all of his brothers, and he wept on them, and after his brothers talked with him. And when the news was heard in Pharaoh's house that Joseph's brothers had come, it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. Remember, Joseph had the Midas touch. Whatever he touched turned to gold and prospered. Remember what Joseph means? It means to increase. It means to be unfailable. It means to be basically undestructible, indestructible. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your beasts and go to the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now you are ordered, do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. And do not concern yourselves with your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of Pharaoh. And he gave them provisions for their journey. And to each of them he gave changes of clothes, garments, wrappers. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And his father sent his and to his father he sent a follower, 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and substance for their father on the journey. And he sent his brothers away. As they departed, he said to them, do not quarrel on your journey. And they went up from the land of Egypt, and they came to the land of Canaan, to their father Jacob. And guess what, Marilyn? Their father doesn't believe them. These boys are habitual liars and cheats and thieves and perjurers. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive. Now remember, Simeon and Levi went into Shechem and murdered the whole city. They had sold their brother as a slave into Egypt and told their father that he was killed. And indeed, he is ruler over all the land of Egypt, but he was stunned, for he did not believe them. He continued not to believe them. When they told him all the words of Joseph that he had spoken, to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father, Jacob, soared, revived. He became young again. Years of worry and distress and heartbreak was over. Then Israel said, "It is enough. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go to see him and see him before I die." Now look at this. Now God loves Jacob. The Bible says it in several places. "Jacob I loved." Remember what Romans 8:28 says? "For God is able to cause all the things to come for the to come together for the good of those that love him and are the called." So Israel set out with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba, the well of Sheba. And he offered sacrifices to God of his father Isaac. Now we have a hypnotic trance. Now we have a vision. Now we have a visitation of God. And God spoke to Israel in visions, in hypnose, literally, in hypnotic trances of the night, and said to Jacob, and he said, "Here I am." Remember, Abraham said, "Here I am." He said, "I am the God. I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you great nation there." Now, God had told Abraham that his descendants were going to go down into Egypt for a long time, but they would come out very wealthy. Now, Jacob was besieged by tremendous problems all through his life. His brother was a playboy and a runaround, and all he wanted to do was hunt and play, while Jacob was a breadwinner of his home. He was a shepherd. He was the one out and fought the lions and the bears and whatever came upon, the jackals and the coyotes, whatever, the wolves. He was the one that stood all these things off against the flocks that were the very bread and butter of his family. He said, "I will make a great nation of you there." He went down into Haran and met his father-in-law Laban, which was also his relative. He met Laban, his uncle Laban, and there Laban continued to cheat him for over 21 years. He escaped out of there, and then God, in a visitation, warned Laban, "Don't you touch this man, don't you say one word bad against him or else." Then his brother Esau, that was going to murder him, met him in the way with an army of hundreds of men. And yet Jacob was protected by God. He said, "I'll go down with you to Egypt, and I'll also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will close your eyes. You're going to go down to Egypt, but I'm going to take you back out of there, and you're going to be buried with your grandfather Abraham." This is going to happen in Isaac. You're going to be buried there where Sarah is, your grandmother, and all of these, the great patriarchs. And I was there in that place. And I tell you what, walking on that ground is like walking on holy ground, that cave of Machpelah there in Hebron. I am glad that I got to go there. It was very dangerous when I went there in 1976. But I went there, and I stood in awe of the place where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were buried. And they walked there too. They all walked that ground. "Joseph will close your eyes in death." Then Jacob arose from Beersheba. He had a hypnose, a vision from God. And God told him, "I'm still your God. You're still my man." In the book of Malachi it says, "Jacob I loved and Esau I hated." In the book of Romans says that "Jacob I loved and Esau I hated." God loved this man. "For God is able to cause all things to work for the good of us that are the called, they are the elected that love him." And Jacob loved God. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob and their little ones, and their wives and the wagons, and Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took the livestock and their property and that they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and they came to Egypt, and Jacob and all of his descendants with him. His sons and grandsons with his daughters and granddaughters and all the descendants he had brought with him to Egypt. And God was going to take care of them down there. This is a hard journey. Abraham went down there because of fear. Jacob went down there because of promise. There's a whole lot of difference. Abraham went down to Egypt because of fear for his life, and he was going to starve. And then he was afraid for his life down there and sold his wife, the one that is going to bring forth the Messiah child through, the Savior, the seed of the world woman. And God had to intervene there. Then he went and sold her again to Abimelech. And God had to intervene there. And he talked to Abimelech and says, "Don't you touch that man. Don't you touch that woman. I'll kill you. You go and that man that lied to you and sold you a used wife, he's my prophet. You go have him pray for you, and I'll be with you." Abraham's descendants would go down into Egypt, and God told Jacob, or Israel, his covenant name, "Israel, I'll be with you. You go down there and stay down there, and Israel, I am your God, and you are my man, and I love you, and I love your children." And this is what we call an unconditional covenant. It's like the covenant of salvation. The covenant of salvation is unconditional. It's not what we do, but what God has done in our lives. The calling of Israel is irrevocable. I know a lot of people don't believe that Israel has anything in the economy of God today, but God is not finished with them. Because of the Abrahamic and Davidic covenant, God is going to watch over them, and he's going to bring them back into the land, and he's going to establish David's kingdom for 1,000 years upon this earth. Epites geis, El Haaretz. It's going to be on this land. But before that, there's going to be a great tribulation period. And God is going to watch over Israel, and he's going to at least save 144,000 of them to take them into the millennial reign through the tribulation period. We see the unpreventable progress and God's eternal purpose from eternity to eternity, and we live in space and time. And sometimes things are just all around us and just coming down on us, and life is not fair. But God is. The Word of God is true. The God of our fathers and our God is true to us a lot more than we are true to Him. God will never fail you. We'll fail God many times, but God will not fail us. He will not fail us. He will bring us into that beatific vision, into heaven with Himself when we close our eyes in death, if we've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save our souls and forgive us of our sins because of what Jesus did. We have access to God the Father. And Jesus told his disciples, his little church, he said, pray in this way: "Our Father which art in heaven," not the one upon the earth. Our fathers in the earth will fail us every time. Man will fail you every time, but God will not. Your fathers may fail you, your mothers may fail you, but God will not fail you. He's always there. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done upon in heaven as it is, or upon the earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread, what we need. Put a roof over our head. Give us food. Give us protection. Give us comfort in this pilgrim world that we live in." We're not homesteaders here, we're just pilgrims. Help us not to be led into temptation. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. I remember Marilyn said she taught herself that little prayer, didn't you? You taught yourself that little prayer when you were going through decades of absolute misery and torture and abandonment. And you taught yourself that little prayer. You trusted in God. And she made this real weird request of God. She was laying on her bed. Her mother and father were dead. And they were not her friends. They were her enemies. But they were all gone. Her sister, twin sister, had died. And she was all alone. And I hope I tell this right, Marilyn. She said, "Here I am at the end of my rope. There's not much time left in my life. If you're going to do something for me, get with it. I want to learn more about your Bible and more about you and send somebody in my life that'll protect me and take care of me and love me." Did the Lord answer your prayer?
Yes.
He did. Okay. You always wanted to have you liked Indians, didn't you? And you liked cowboys. Well, you got one. Good, bad, or indifferent. And I've tried to love you and take care of you the best I can. The answer to God's eternal purpose, Romans 8:28, "For God is able to cause all things to work for the good of them that are the called that love Him according to His purpose." And if God is for us, who can be against us? That's a promise we have from God's Word that will forever stand in the eternal eons. The promises will still stand then. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out, and I pray if there's one out there that doesn't know you, that they'll trust in your everlasting arms and come to you and throw themselves upon your mercy and love. Father, forgive me where I fail you. And help me to glorify you with my life. And use this message and your word to touch the world. In Jesus' name I pray.